against the Imperial Japanese government, and to bring the conflict to a successful termination. All of the resources of the country are hereby pledged by the Congress of the United States. That was read by the clerk. The Senate was silent, was willing and anxious to consider it immediately. But Senator Vandenberg of Michigan arose and said he desired a comment. Senator Connolly said, in a very quiet voice, he had hoped that we could proceed immediately without comment. But Senator Vandenberg, he said that he mustered up a typewritten paper and began to read, out of peaceful skies and so forth, Japan had violated our soil, killed our citizens. He read about a page, concluding with the fact that he wanted to go on record and emphasize his change of attitude to show that, although, as he said, he had opposed the administration, he had, as you know, been classed as an ardent non-interventionist, he wished to dispel all doubt that we could be weakened from within. As soon as he had finished, the roll call began. It was going on now. Connolly said it was so clear, the issue was so clear, that he did not seem necessary to make any remarks. And so they agreed to proceed at about 7 minutes of the hour to vote on the resolution. They're voting now, and when the vote comes in, I'll give it to you. This resolution is, as I pointed out before, I believe it absolutely identical with the one that was introduced April 2nd, 1917. Then it was Senator Martin, chairman of the Appropriations Committee, who introduced it because then Chairman Stone of the Foreign Relations Committee opposed entrance into war. Except there is just one exception, of course, and here it is, that instead of Imperial Japanese government, it was the Imperial German government then. As I said before, it's interesting that there is still that vestige of feudalism ready to fight the democracies, an imperial government. This unanimous consent is expected. I am expecting, I can't quite hear the vote where I'm standing, but I can see that the senators are sitting quietly in their seats, waiting as the roll call proceeds. Leaning forward, some of them, a moment ago, I saw Senator La Follette, whose father was one of those who voted against the Declaration in 1917, talking earnestly with Senator Norris. Senator Norris, you know, also voted against the resolution in 1917, but he has already expressed himself as anxious to go along with the president, whatever he might do. He said that before. La Follette argued apparently and earnestly. Norris leaned back with his hand over the seat, and I saw him shaking his head. It might not have been that, of course, but so it seemed. They haven't come to him yet in the roll call. He's seated in exactly the same position that he was then. His elbow on the back of his chair, his hand at his head, his fingers moving up and down contemplatively, one hand stretched out on the desk. He's looking down, and I imagine that he can see that pageant of 1917 arising before him. What a different scene, though, where there were so many opposing the Declaration, where it was quite a debatable subject. And as I said before, when we compare the words issued by the President, who President Wilson at the time, describing the duties of this country in an active sense, to establish principles, to right wrongs, to free the little countries, compare that with what the simple words of our President today, when he merely recounted the acts of aggression and duplicity of the Japanese government against us. And now, I'm going to send someone down there to find out what the progress of the vote is. There must be a score. I can't quite hear from here. There are some of the people are moving about now in the aisles. There are others crowding about me here, and I find it difficult to see. The galleries themselves are not filled with spectators. They weren't permitted to enter, as I said before, until the Senate returned from the joint session. Now they're coming in, and there's naturally they're coming, trying to come all at once. It was a solemn occasion, I can tell you, and the fact that there were no one present but the senators themselves and a few men, the men in the press gallery and one or two of us in the radio gallery at the time, gave it an almost church-like feeling as the chaplain leaned forward and prayed with attention given to him that I must say I have seldom seen in this gathering, even on serious occasions. Wait a minute, a note is being passed up to me now from one of my NBC assistants here in the gallery. At present, I can give you no report that there have been, was at the first roll call, No nays recorded. Of course, some people are absent. Senator Wheeler, I believe, is not here. Do you know whether Senator Wheeler was in the House? And on the first roll call, he was absent. But no nays were recorded. Some were absent. And the official count has not yet been made. We're waiting for that. There's a little movement now. Senator Connolly is on his feet, reading from a document. What's Connolly saying? Can you tell me there? Senator Norris has turned around, but his hand is still up to his chin, and his nervous fingers are moving on the side of his chair. Again, Senator Glass, who has been very anxious, as you know, that we take the active steps before this, is sitting there, his hands folded, looking forward. Now he turned toward Senator Connolly, who is moving behind him and walking down the aisle, addressing the people about him. Apparently, there is some say. What? Have you got an getting some? There's a movement now. Senator Barkley has risen. The vote has just been given to me, 82 to nothing. 82 in favor of the resolution which I read to you, declaring that we are in a state of war with the Imperial Japanese government. Now there are people who have raised their seats. The pilot is moving backward, talking earnestly. But Wheeler did not vote, I am told. There may be other votes were withheld. It's a strange, tense feeling that seems to be spreading over the Senate. Senator Connolly has risen now and is going down. And I want to. It's quiet. You have the vote here, and I'm going to send you back now to the radio gallery of the House of Representatives.
Gentlemen, the House of Representatives is now voting on the resolution, but it will be some minutes before the vote will be available to us. Therefore, for the time being, we return you to the NBC newsroom in New York.
We're back here in the NBC newsroom in New York, ladies and gentlemen. Here are some late bulletins just come in. The first is Dateline Mexico City. President Manuel Avicio Camacho will ask Congress for a declaration of war against Japan before the day is out. A high official quarter predicted this afternoon. Congressional approval was forecast. Another bulletin from Washington. The Senate vote was 82 to nothing for war on Japan. I'll repeat that. The Senate vote was 82 to nothing for war on Japan. A unanimous vote. A bulletin from Port-au-Prince. The Republic of Haiti declared war on Japan at 11:30 a.m. today. A bulletin from Buenos Aires. Colombia has decided to cede Pacific and Caribbean bases to the United States. The newspaper Critica reported from Bogota today that the United States will get those Colombian bases for the war against Japan. And the Berlin radio reports that the emperor of Manchukuo, Kang Te, has proclaimed to his people that Manchukuo has declared war against the United States and Great Britain. Manchukuo is a Japanese puppet state. These bulletins have come to you from the NBC newsroom in New York. This is the National Broadcasting Company.
Thank you. the orchestra continues, we hear the El Capitan march.
Interrupt our program at this time to bring you a late bulletin. The dateline, Washington. The United States, through its Congress, declared war today on Japan. Now, the vote in the Senate was 82-0. At the present time, we do not know the vote in the House, but the full Congress has declared war today on Japan. This bulletin came to you from the NBC newsroom in New York. We continue now with our program from Chicago.
With a salute to our gallant Navy, anchors away, we bring to conclusion our program of music, which has been played for you today by Joseph Galicchio and the Homesteaders. This program reached you from our Chicago studios, and this is the National Broadcasting Company.
Let's sing and swing.
Let's sing and swing with Irving Miller and his orchestra. Linda Keene and Billy Grant to supply the vocals. A little music around the belt of the day seems just the thing to us, so we've got our little group together again, and we're quite prepared to make with us the music, I mean. Well, nobody had any idea we'd be swinging this one when it first came out, but here it is, just moving back and forth like an agitated pendulum. The man on the flying trapeze.
We interrupt our programs to bring you a special broadcast. We take you now to Washington.
From the Senate Radio Gallery, we speak to you again. Just a few moments ago, the National Broadcasting Company presented, just a few feet away from this microphone position, an eyewitness account by Borkage, our noted NBC News commentator stationed here in Washington, of the actual vote taking place in the Senate chamber. Borkage told you about the individual senators, how they were voting, how they looked, just exactly what his impressions were of these men who represent the people of the United States here in this solemn chamber of the Senate in the United States Capitol. Just a few steps away from where we're broadcasting right now, Borkage has collected a number of other interesting facts and figures concerning the vote. I see that he has the long tally sheet in his hand, in which there were 82 ayes, no nays. And so I'm going to call upon him now to tell you something about the very interesting sheet that he has there, those who did vote, those who were absent, those whose vote was not recorded. So, here is Borkage.
Borkage talking again. I have in my hand this historic tally sheet that I imagine will be free, with a total vote of 82 below. There are certain blanks, members who were absent. But in every single case, either Senator Hill or Senator McNary on the Republican side explained the reason for the absence and indicated the sentiment of the absentee. In other words, it was a unanimous vote, all except the case of Senator Wheeler, who is out of town, I believe, and was unable to get here. And in his case, no explanation was given, so we do not know whether America's leading non-interventionist would have felt differently in this case and cast his vote for war. We know that one, he was interviewed shortly after the attack on Japan, and at that time he said, "We must see it through." That might indicate that he felt that it was proper and logical for him, in spite of the opposition that he has carried on against war and most of the defense measures, that it was logical now at least to declare war in the constitutional way. Even Senator Boone, who is ill as a result of a long accident some time ago, is in the hospital here. He's been always a very ardent non-interventionist, not perhaps a pacifist, but a man exceedingly against militaristic measures, jingoism in every way. But we had word, too, that under these circumstances, he would have voted with the rest had he been able to be here. Senator Capper, too, was away. There was also Senator Thomas of Idaho and Senator Wagner, right down to the end, with the last vacancy, Senator Wheeler himself. Now, the Senate is passing the various routine measures that are made necessary by the declaration of war. They are now passing a bill putting all radio operators on ships under the Navy. Well, I'm not on ship yet, but that's all for the moment, and thanks very much.
To continue NBC's coverage of this historic event, we return you now to the House side of the Capitol building.
Alan Smith speaking again. The House of Representatives is voting on the resolution. It's House Resolution 254. They are now into the S's in the alphabet, and thus far there has been but one dissenting vote. Representative Jeanette Rankin, who voted against war in 1917, has just voted no, the only one of the entire House of Representatives who have thus far made known their position on the resolution to vote no. All of the others have said aye. Here is the resolution on which the House is now voting. Declaring that a state of war exists between the Imperial Government of Japan and the people of the United States, and making provision for the same, whereas the Imperial Government of Japan has committed repeated acts of war against the people and the government of the United States, therefore, be it resolved by the Senate and House of Representatives of the United States of America in Congress assembled, that the state of war between the United States and the Imperial Government of Japan, which has thus been thrust upon the United States, is hereby formally declared, and that the President be, and he is hereby authorized and directed, to employ the entire naval and military forces of the United States and the resources of the government to carry on war against the Imperial Japan government, and to bring the conflict to a successful termination, all of the resources of the country are hereby pledged by the Congress of the United States. And so, ladies and gentlemen, the Congress of the United States has voted today the declaration of war against Japan. The Senate vote, as you know, 82 to nothing, and the House vote will be overwhelmingly in favor of the resolution which we have just read. The House is nearing the end of its vote, but thus far, perhaps only 10 to 12 members have failed to answer their names. It's not possible that they would sit there and not answer at all. They might answer present, or they might answer aye, or they might answer no. Thus far, one member, as we told you, Ms. Jeanette Rankin of Montana, has voted no. All of the other members of the House who have answered to their names in the roll call have voted aye. And now, once again, for a few moments, to the Senate side of the Capitol.
Ladies and gentlemen, broadcasting once again from the Senate Radio Gallery, where at the present time, right on the floor of the Senate chamber, various resolutions are being adopted by the Senate that are necessary in this serious business that confronts the United States of America and its people and its lawmakers here in Washington today. Bockage, our noted commentators in the gallery of the Senate chamber at the present time, gathering up more very interesting bits of information concerning the latest facts and just exactly what the Senate is doing. A few moments ago, you heard Bockage's comments on the vote of 82 to nothing. It was cast on the adoption of the resolution that a state of war does exist. And now Bakke has come back and he has more interesting information concerning some of the members of the Senate who are down there on the floor today. Here is Bakke.
Bakke talking again. The session is progressing now. The tension is down. A number of the senators who want to make speeches and get into the record on the subject are making them. There are not many, however. I have looked over and seen a few manuscripts coyly and modestly concealed beneath the desk that was maybe brought forth. It's interesting. I believe there's no one in the... I know of no one in the Senate, besides Senator Norris, who voted for this resolution, the war resolution in 1917, except Senator Barkley. He was a member of the House then. And he, too, of course, has memories that are coming before his eyes, undoubtedly. Senator Meade is speaking now. He's making the war speech, more or less justification and record of the attitude of the country toward Japan. It was very interesting. It was quite surprising when the vote was called, when he went down that list and came to the name of La Follette. A little while before I'd seen him arguing, I thought, with Senator Norris attempting to persuade him, perhaps. And yet, when the name of Senator La Follette was called, he answered his aye as vigorously as his father had given his no in 1917. The same as through Senator Reynolds, Senator Nye, who as you know, like Senator Wheeler, was one of the leading non-interventionists. That's all for the moment. Thanks very much.
We return you now to New York.
And now we hear from H.B. Kaltenborn, speaking from the NBC newsroom.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's strange how history repeats itself. That same little woman who on the occasion of the First World War faltered in her seat at the House when the fatal roll call came, she who had always believed in pacifism, always opposed war, she broke down and wept as she whispered the word no. But at that time, there were 53 others who voted with her. This time, she was almost alone, for the Senate had voted unanimously, and as the roll call swept down the line through the letters of the alphabet until it came to R, there had been no single no, but each member voiced a thundering aye as his name was called. And then, this same little woman, older now, but still completely devoted to her pacifism, utterly ignoring the facts of a situation in which we are not declaring war, but in which we are merely stating that we are willing to fight when we are attacked. But even so, in her endeavor to be consistent once again and once more, with faltering voice, she voted no, and by so doing, perhaps only emphasize the unanimity with which House and Senate are approving the cost taken by the President of the United States in devoting all we have and all we are to the defeat of Japan. One by one, the countries of the North American continent have declared that they stand at the side of the United States, that they too are ready to join forces with us for the defeat of Japan. And you may say, it's of little account whether Haiti or Honduras vote no, but it is. They do count. We now return to Washington.
Here in our studios in Washington is NBC commentator Earl Godwin.
Earl Godwin has to say that this thing that's happened up on Capitol Hill this afternoon is the fastest thing ever in American history. It certainly galloped this thing through. The fact that Jeanette Rankin would just as soon see the Japanese sweep over the country and kill everybody in their sleep hasn't...
We're back now at the House of Representatives. The House has just voted in favor of the House resolution 388-aye, 1-no. Miss Jeanette Rankin of Montana, the lone dissenting vote in this record vote of the House, 389 out of a possible 435. As a matter of fact, today, because of some deaths, there are not quite that many members of the House. So it is a record vote, 389. 388 have voted aye, one has voted No. As we told you a little while ago, the trend of the houseboat here was very apparent. And the people in the galleries, and even some of the members themselves, began milling about just a little bit because they knew that it was just a matter of time until this vote could be passed. So the Senate of the United States has voted 82-0 to take the United States to war against Japan. The House of Representatives has voted 388-1. So, ladies and gentlemen, in a very brief time, we have brought you the request of the President of the United States to a joint session of Congress for a declaration of war against the Imperial Government of Japan. And that request has now been granted by both houses of Congress, and in a short time, the resolution will go to the President for a signature. And that's all at the present time from the United States Capitol Building in Washington. We now return you to the NBC Newsroom in New York. We return now to our regular program.
You've been listening to Let's Sing and Swing with Irving Miller and his orchestra. The vocals by Linda Keene and Billy Grant. This is the National Broadcasting Company, RCA Building, Radio City, New York.